May it please the Court, Your Honor. Jeremiah Morgan on behalf of the Director of Revenue. Did the legislature really intend to change decades and even centuries of law and make real property a product without ever saying so in the statute? And is such a monumental change in interpretation of Missouri law consistent with a strict construction that must be applied to tax exemption? The answers to these two questions is easily no. Before I get into the analysis, I want to just point out a few critical facts for purposes of the analysis. E&B Granite makes a number of items, but for ease in use, I'm just going to refer to granite countertops. That seems to be the operable item today. They make these for retail sales, one, and two, for installation. The retail sales, of course, are subject to tax. The second, though, fixtures are not subject to tax. It is also important to note that title does not pass for these items until after they are installed, after they're affixed. Now to the first point. Real property is not a product under 144.054. That burden is on E&B Granite to establish. they are entitled to the tax exemption. It is strictly construed, and all doubts are resolved in favor of the tax. In fact, their request has to fit exactly into the language of the statute. And that exemption is for a product. The statute doesn't define what a product is, but the dictionary does provide a general definition. What it doesn't provide, what it doesn't say in the definition, is that a product includes items that are affixed or are fixtures to real property.
Yeah,
can you
explain that comparison to me?
Yes.
You're saying it's not a product because it isn't transferred until it is attached to the real estate.
That's right.
So are you saying they are transferring real estate,
which
they would have to do in a written document?
By a contract.
By a contract.
Yes. As a construction contractor, they would. They would be transferring that item to the real property owner as a fixture, which would be real property. And the issue for purposes of tax exemption is, when do we consider the tax exemption? And this is the important part, I think, on this point. And that is, you look at tax exemptions when the title is transferred. So, for example, if the title was transferred before the countertop was affixed, at the time you consider tax exemption would be a product. But once title is transferred after it's affixed or after it becomes a fixture or real property, then that's when you consider whether or not it's subject to the exemption. At that point, it is real property.
So to be successful in your argument, we have to find that the countertop is real property.
Yes, you have to find that. Well,
it's a fixture.
It's a fixture.
Fixture.
It's a fixture.
Part
which,
of real property.
Which is a matter of law is real property. I mean, that's a fundamental principle of property law.
It is. Is there a dispute between the parties as to whether it is in fact a fixture once it's added to it under the law?
I don't think so at all. I don't think there's
But the real property is owned by the customer.
Yes, the real property is owned by the customer. They, as a construction contractor, would come in and fix it to it, just like a cabinet maker would come in and fix those cabinets to the real property, and they become part of the real property. It would be equivalent to when you go to sell your house, you can obviously take your couch and things like that, but you cannot remove the granite countertop, and you cannot remove the cabinet without incurring some liability.
But isn't there a significant distinction between the seller of the fixture who is installing it in the property, that whole concept, and the concept that by installing it in, that they are conveyed, that it becomes real property? Aren't we focusing on the installation process and that event rather than, there's a moment at which it's installed, but doesn't that lead us into kind of absurd concepts if we can say that it becomes real property and we don't consider the sale?
I think not, because the analysis that we're talking about here is consistent with longstanding principles of law, and that is a product. the question isn't could it have been a product or was it at some point a product. It's true, a granite countertop, if cut and finished as they've done, would be a product all the way up until the point in which it's attached. Then it becomes real property. And the critical point on that is, when do you consider, when does title pass, and when do you consider the tax exemption? And that's the important part in this. If it were that you considered title passage at any point in time during the process, then we'd have a different issue. But it's clear that the determination of when title passes for purposes of a tax exemption is when taxing or exemptions are considered for purposes of when title passes. And here it's after it's become real property.
So if I, to follow your argument, if I needed a new dishwasher and I went to an appliance store and agreed to buy a dishwasher and the company said, we'll install it for you, and they install it into my cabinets and it becomes a fixture in my home, is the sales tax on the dishwasher exempt?
No, because you've bought a product.
But I also, you know, agreed that I wanted them to install it, too, so it was a kind of a whole package deal.
Right, and in that situation, they're not actually the ones making the dishwasher. So that's it's different in that sense. If they were the makers of the dishwasher, let's say Whirlpool has their own outlet store, for lack of a better term. They make their own dishwasher, and you agree to buy one, and they'll install it. In fact, in that situation, they would not be subject to a retail sales tax on that because they are installing it directly, and now Home Depot would be a different matter.
What the exemption is again? Go back to say what it is. Why it makes a difference if they're a manufacturer versus someone buying it and installing it?
Yeah.
What are we trying to qualify under again?
Yeah, you have to be a manufacturer that produces a product. And the question is, does the exemption fit within that framework? And
so someone who's just buying something from Home Depot or someplace else, or a regular contractor who's buying something from someplace and installing it, they're not a manufacturer, so they're not under this to begin with.
You're quite right. Absolutely.
Very narrow range.
It's narrow. It's a manufacturing exemption. So you have to be both a manufacturer and it has to be a product.
So I've
sort of skipped over the manufacturing part, but I appreciate your drawing that out.
Okay.
For me.
So what if I go out to the granite business and I pick out a slab and I say, that's the one I want for my countertop. And they say, okay, that's going to be yours. They mark it and they label it. And I sign the contract. And in the contract it says, you know, now I own that slab.
So in other words, title passed right then.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Then that's a retail sale subject to tax right then. And it's not, at the time title passed, it's not real property at that point.
Is an improvement to real property subject to sales and use tax?
I'm sorry, is what?
To real property subject to the sales and use tax?
No, improvements, and that's the point. Fixtures and improvements are not subject to tax. And so the result would be, what their argument is that they would be subject to tax-free purchase of the entire process all the way through, because Missouri law does not tax fixtures or attachments to real property.
To clarify, normally if I were not the manufacturer, the purchaser would pay a sales tax or use tax would be paid on anything installed in the house. But because there's no sale, because they do it from start to finish of the process, the question is, has the state of Missouri provided an alternative method of taxing them? And you say yes, and he says no, this exemption applies. So can you go back to the basics again now that we have kind of the structure and how it's different and say your argument?
retail sales are subject to tax. Fixtures are not subject to tax. And what Missouri intended to do here was to encourage manufacturing. They wanted to encourage manufacturing for the purpose of, as it says in Missouri 144.021, for the purpose of taxing tangible personal property. But the idea was, we want to tax it at a point at which it's reached its highest value. In other words, we want to tax products because those have a higher value and it will return a greater value.
So what's at issue here is the tax that was imposed when the installer bought the granite pieces.
Yes.
And they're asking for a refund on that,
right?
Because that is a used in the manufacture of the thing that's now in the building.
Right. And we have not disputed that they're a manufacturer. I mean, you know, under broad definitions of manufacturer, we've not disputed that. So they're purchasing those without tax. Now they're trying to get tax free all the way through the entire process, so that the granite slab never incurs a tax when it's purchased from the wholesaler or the provider.
Why aren't they considered to have sold it to the homeowner when they install it in the house?
Because when it's fixed, it's not considered a sale. Once it's fixed, once it's attached, it's not considered a retail sale, not subject to tax.
Let me go through this scenario with you.
Okay.
If I'm the person making the granite slab, and I decide I want to conduct my business in a way that I say, I'm going to sell you this slab, and then I'm going to sell you installation. Now, when I sell you the slab, I, as a purchaser, have to pay a sales tax on it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then when it's installed, and then they can take the deduction because it was a product. They manufactured
another. Right. They manufactured a product, and when the title was transferred, it was a product.
And I pay the tax, and then they go affix it, and that's not a taxable event.
Yeah, the fixing of it is not a taxable event.
Now, when they sell it affixed, they say, I'm going to sell you this, and I'm going to fix it. It's not an installation. Installation isn't necessarily affixed to the property. Installation, you can just set it there, put it in. What makes it a fixture is it is screwed in permanently,
right,
part of the product.
There's a test.
Say, I'm selling this screwed in, buckled down. Then I, as the purchaser, don't pay tax on that because it's an improvement to the property.
Right.
But then they don't have a product.
Right.
Because you're arguing it's an
affixture. That's correct. And there is a standard upon which something is affixed, and it is more than just setting it down. It has to be permanently attached with the intention that it be permanently attached. The idea that somebody could go then pull it out when they sell their house is, again, what they would incur some liability. A couple of last items before my time runs out here. The question is not, could it have ever been a product? Or before it was affixed, was it a product? That's not the question here. It is, when title passed, was it a product? That it meets a strict construction of the tax exemption. And it doesn't in this case. Last couple of
Does
things.
Does the tax code even talk about fixtures?
No, it doesn't. And I would direct
so
this.
So why couldn't it be both? Why couldn't it both be a product and a fixture?
It could be if Missouri legislature decided that products could be fixtures. I mean, that's the development of the law over the decades and the centuries, and that is a product or something attached to real property is no longer a tangible personal property. It acquires the personality, if you will, of real property once it's attached, and that's pretty well established law in Missouri.
So a fireplace could never be a product.
Yes, it could be a product.
Oh, but a brick one that you put in the house, could that be a product?
Yeah, if somebody goes in and has to put in the bricks, and no, it would not be a product. If you buy it as a piece, you know, it's right. Potentially a product before that. I mean, in part, it's looking at the time you look at it. So, thank you.
May it please the court. I'm Lamar Otts and I represent ENB. You know, I think that the Department of Revenue is missing this whole thing. First of all, let me say that we submitted this case to the Administrative Hearing Commission on a stipulation of fact. They've argued in their brief that some of the things that they stipulated are not true. What has changed between then and now? An unfavorable decision on the part of the Department of Revenue, that's all. But let's really look at the essence of this whole situation, and that is 054. What does it say? The 054 says that in addition to the other exemptions granted under Chapter 144, materials used or consumed in the manufacturing of any product are exempt. And it goes on to say, this is in addition to the local exemptions provided under Section 030 of that statute. Necessarily, we have to look at the transfer of title. But what's happening here is that the Department of Revenue is looking at the wrong transfer of title. The transfer of title that has to be determined in this case is between the supplier and the manufacturer. It's when the manufacturer buys it, you determine whether or not he has bought it for the use and purpose of manufacturing a product.
So if you buy a great big block of granite from a quarry. That's what you're talking about here, right?
That's exactly right, Judge Wolf.
The guy who bought the big block of granite is going to slice it into pieces and
make a product.
And find those pieces and put them in as countertops in people's homes.
So it's that transaction that determines whether or not the material is exempt. This is a materials exemption, not a product exemption, and that is where the Department of Revenue is missing the point. They're saying that we take this materials exemption, but we never look at it again when it's a product. That's not true. Actually, ENB has to look at it at two times. When they purchase the material from the supplier and they are a manufacturer, is it exempt? According to the broad definition in 054, all you got to do is find out, did you purchase it to use or consume it in the manufacturer of any product? How much clearer can the statute be than that? And if it fits into that category, there's a materials exemption.
When you finish refining that piece of granite and then you get to the home, ENB is not the builder of the home. They're a subcontractor of sorts, right?
Well, certainly not the builder, no.
No, they're not the builder, but they're the ones that are hired to install granite countertops in this.
Sometimes, sometimes not, yeah.
But when they do that, aren't they then selling this as a product to the builder of that home?
Yes.
Shouldn't they collect tax?
Shouldn't that be a taxable event at that point?
Only if title, to answer your question, sometimes they collect the tax and sometimes they don't. And that's my next point. If I can explain that, I think that will clear up the question that both of you asked. They look at the transfer of title at the time that we've already talked about between the supplier and the manufacturer. But the tax laws require them to look at the transfer of title again, and that's between the manufacturer and the customer. That's really what the Department of Revenue is talking about, but they missed the point in that that's not necessary to determine that when you determine a materials exemption. So what ENB does...
So there wasn't a tax collected by ENB on the when they sold it to the contractor or the ultimate homeowner?
Why not?
Well, let me explain that.
Yeah, okay.
That's where I was going. If once it becomes a product, then they have to look at the transfer of title again. And that's the transfer of title between the manufacturer and the customer. If the customer comes in and says, you know, my Uncle Joe can install this, then there's a transfer of title while it's still personal property. ENB collects and remits the tax on that. If, in your case, Judge Russell, if you want ENB to do the whole thing, then in that instance where ENB manufactures it and also installs it, no, there is no tax on that because the title didn't transfer until it went into your home.
And what is the – and then read me the language you're relying on to say there's no tax in that instance.
Because in that instance, it's tax exempt because it becomes a fixture to real estate and the title hasn't passed until after it's a fixture. There can be a third scenario.
But that's the very scenario that the state says there is a tax on, because then it's not a product, it's a fixture.
The state's not saying that there's a tax then. No.
So they're
saying it's tax-free.
Yeah, so then there was no tax collected anywhere in the stream of commerce.
That's correct.
And is that permissible? Is that in line with what our tax code provides for?
It's in line with what 054 exemption, yeah.
Okay.
If you're a dual operator in that instance.
Right, which is specifically defined in the regs.
Specifically defined. And so, but to come here and say that ENB doesn't pay taxes
on it.
Well,
it says materials used or consumed in the manufacturing of any product.
That's right.
What you're relying. Now, I thought you just said it's not a product anymore.
I didn't say it wasn't a product.
Okay,
I said you looked at it. To determine whether or not there's a material exemption, you look at it at the transaction between the supplier and the manufacturer. That's what you look at. The state is saying you look at it when it becomes a product.
Well, so, it does say materials used or consumed in the manufacturing of any product. So don't you have to look at...
No, you look at the material.
The state argues that when 054 was passed, it was passed to provide broader exemptions, but not to change the laws to contractors. But there is nothing in the statute that really exempts contractors or talks about contractors. What's your argument or response to that?
What was, I don't know what law he was talking about as far as contractors are concerned. What I think he's talking about is a regulation that the Administrative Hearing Commission says that under 12 CSR 10-112-010, the regulation imposes a tax on contractors for purchases that they make. But that regulation, at the very beginning of it, says the purpose of this rule interprets sections 010, 020, 030, and 060. It doesn't affect 054. It was written before 054. 054 expanded it, and you shouldn't interpret a regulation that is contrary to the statute.
Council, go ahead.
This transaction, if it occurred prior to 054 being adopted, do your arguments go away? Is it a taxable transaction under 030.2?
Well, it depends upon the transaction. But to answer your question, in most instances, yes, Judge, because here is the distinct difference between 054 and 030. 030 says that you look at to see whether or not it is used or consumed, materials are used and consumed in the manufacturing of a new product to ultimately be sold for use or consumption. So in that instance, what do you look at? You don't look at whether the materials are being manufactured. You must look at the transaction between the manufacturer and the customer.
My question that I was getting to is, interpreting 054 as you are doing it, does that totally subsume 030.2?
No. It depends upon what exemption you're bringing. And we're going under 054. But you're talking about a very narrow exemption under 030 that you only get. That's the Blevins case, and we're basically saying Blevins is good law. It just simply doesn't apply to this situation, because under the broadened statute, what happened is you look at a different transaction. You look at the transaction between the supplier and the manufacturer.
But opposing counsel says that's not just where you look, because you're increasing the value of the raw
material.
Well,
opposing counsel's wrong.
Counsel, if I could finish my question.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That you look at there's an increase in value of the granite. If you bought some huge piece of granite, you turn it into a countertop. That increases the value of it. You don't then sell that as a product, at least in the circumstances of this case. You install it in a home, and then you transfer property. And at that point, under Missouri law, it's a fixture, not a product. So we have to look at the fixture-product distinction. Because you have increased the value of it, there's been no tax on that increase in value. You're saying that's okay because I've incorporated those raw materials into a product. And the state is saying, no, you haven't, that you don't transfer until it's become part of the real property. It's a fixture. It's no longer a product. You chose not to sell it to someone as a product. You chose to do all the parts of the process, as you said, and it became a fixture, and therefore you are not entitled to the exemption for incorporating something into a product because you've chosen to hold on to it until it's become a fixture.
That's 030 exception. That's not the 054. That's the Blevins exemption.
Why is it both a product and a fixture, which you have to be arguing it is in order to come within the exemption you're relying on, as I understand 054, which talks about incorporating it into the production of any product. And they're saying it's no longer a product at the time you transport. It's become part of the real property because the fixture, and under Missouri law, that is no longer personalty. That's part of the realty.
But, Judge, the point is,
at what time under 054 do you look at the transaction?
But I'm saying the problem with looking at it when you bought the big block of granite is you don't look at what you've done to transform it.
But the statute doesn't dictate that you look at that. The statute broadened the manufacturing exemption in the state of Missouri before 2007, when it was just the 03. The 030 is a very narrow exemption. What I understand that the legislature was trying to do is to bring more manufacturing into the state, so they broadened the exemption that dictates and demands that you look at the transaction between the supplier and the manufacturer. You don't look at the next transaction, not at that time, but we as E&B must look at it twice. Once it becomes a product, then if title transfers before it is attached to the real estate, we collect and remit sales tax to the state of Missouri. If title doesn't pass until after it's affixed to the real estate, then it's exempt. That's what we're saying. But clearly, under 054, you look at the transaction at the time that you purchase the materials. That's the distinction between these two, clearly the distinction, and the broader statute. And that's what we're looking at. We're saying we bought the materials, we're going to use them and consume them in the manufacturing of a product. Does the product ultimately become a fixture? Yes, but it's still a product. Thank you.
And it gets taxed by the real estate property, the property taxes, because it's an improvement to real estate, so it's taxed by somebody.
By somebody. And we're not totally tax exempt. Under 054, we're still subject to local sales tax. It's state sales and use tax and local use tax that are not applicable under the exemption, but local sales tax is. So it's not totally exempt. It's only a part of our business. We sell a lot of it the other way, and it's totally taxed, but it's taxed when it becomes a product, not at the time of the purchase of the material. And that's the distinction between the two statutes, as far as I'm concerned. Thank you.
Counsel, before you get started, the way I understand your opponent's argument is that when his company purchased the raw material and makes it into the product, that under 054, there's an exemption on sales tax. However, though, if that product is sold to a consumer, a customer, that's not going to be installed, then tax is collected on that. But if it's going to be sold to a consumer with an installation, then there's no tax collected. And is your argument then that then we need to look back then to the time when this particular business bought the raw material and make tax imposed on that transaction?
Yeah.
How can you go back in time like that?
Let me try to walk through it here, and that is, in those original, let's say the block of granite they sell to E&B, whatever wholesaler sells it to them, that transaction would be subject to tax. Now, but don't stop there. It would, and in a typical situation, they would pay the tax on that purchase.
But
now they go and they cut it and refine it and so forth. If they then sell it before attached, they sell it as a product. Then they can go back and say, Department of Revenue, I want a refund on those purchases before that purchase of the block because I fit it.
Well, but I thought you agreed they were a manufacturer.
Oh, they are.
And if you stipulated they were a manufacturer, then we don't look back because it was exempt when they bought it.
Under 054.
I'm not saying you stipulated, but if there's a stipulation of fact that they're a manufacturer, then there is no tax when they purchase it because they're a manufacturer.
Under 054, they'd have to be a manufacturer and produce a product.
Right, which they are from the raw material.
At the time of the purchase.
But they're not. But they're not producing a product in this situation when they've attached it. So let me just finish.
Okay.
Now we're back to the real circle is when a product becomes a fixture. And
right.
I guess my point is there anything when we just read the tax code that says a product couldn't be both? I mean fixture that apply that's real property law, there, you know, as
right.
to what you can take and what you can't take. But
well,
nobody ever intended fixtures to really apply to the tax law.
Well, the statutes are passed in in the background of all those things, which clearly established that a product is not also a fixture, although it may be a product at some point before it's affixed. So while it doesn't say that, we have to keep in mind that we are still subject to the strict construction. They have to meet it, they have to fit the language exactly. And here, just as I walk through that, so if they purchase that block and they're a manufacturer, they then refine it, make it into something, they sell it as a product before being affixed, then all of that purchases before of the raw product and so forth would be tax exempt. but if they purchase it, they go through the process, they manufacture it, then they sell it or they affix it before title passes, then it is no longer a product under the statute, and it has
to.
So
then answer Judge Russell's question. You're saying you retroactively decide if you owed tax back when you bought it by what you ultimately end up doing with it.
What I'm saying is, under the statute, it has to meet the language exactly. And when this is sold and when the title is passed, it is not a product.
So then you go back and suddenly you owe tax when that big block of granite you bought 3 years ago, whereas you, at the time you thought you were going to sell it to Home Depot, and so you would not have owed a tax.
And it wouldn't be that you owe tax. It would be that you were not entitled to a refund.
So,
right. And so they would have
paid the tax when you bought it.
Yeah, you've already paid the tax. This is how it works. You paid the tax when you purchased the block.
Okay, that's how
and then
is.
You can go back if you produced a product and you sold it as a product, you can then go back and request the refund.
But that's not what 054 says. It says it's there's no tax at the point when the miner of the raw material sells it to the manufacturer.
No, that's not what it says. It says if a manufacturer produces a product that all of the underlying materials, including electricity, all that is tax exempt.
And so
it doesn't say as summarized.
So if EMB sold none of the counters, the granite countertops, commercial or in retail, they still would have to pay 100% tax on 100% of the product they purchased, the big blocks of granite. Even though they never would owe sales tax, they then would have to ask for a refund of all the sales tax they paid.
They wouldn't get any back.
Under your scenario, you've just described that they're not a retailer. They just install everything.
Go the other way.
Okay. Perfect. So they're not an installer of anything.
Right.
They're completely retailer.
Sale all of it.
Okay. In that situation, then the retail sales tax would be paid. And then they would be entitled to refunds on everything.
So they have to pay the full, even if.
Well, the purchaser has to pay the sales tax, the sales use tax. And then EMB Granite would be entitled to a refund on all of their purchases of the raw product and so forth.
And they're not attacking, in this case, as I understand, that you collect the money first and they have to apply for a refund. Is that process under HEC?
Yeah, no.
It's whether or not they should get the refund or not.
That's right. And that's how it works, that they seek for a refund under those circumstances. Keep it in mind.
Is it set up that way because it depends what they do with it?
Yes, it does. That's exactly why it's set up that way, because you don't know what. Same thing with .030, and that is it a sale for ultimate use or ultimate sale at retail? I mean, you don't know what the ultimate or end will be until afterwards, and that's why it's set up as a refund situation. Again, these are all should be considered in the light of strict construction that must be applied to tax exemption. And for these reasons, the Department of Revenue asks that this court reverse. Oh, you have another question. Go ahead.
Just really quickly, so now that I'm better understanding both arguments, opposing counsel argues that the fact that it is a product on the way to becoming a fixture does matter because as soon as it was incorporated into something that at some point was a product, the exemption applied, and what happened to it later doesn't really matter.
Yeah. That doesn't make any sense to me because the issue is we consider the tax exemption or the tax at the time title passes, right? So,
and what says that?
Blevins says that, and general case law says we consider the tax exemption or whether or not tax is imposed when title transfers. So in this case, there would be several times in which title would transfer, or at least two times. When the wholesaler sells it to the, depending on how many are in the stream of commerce, wholesaler sells it to the manufacturer either sells it to the person or installs it. So you consider the time, what it is at the time when title is transferred. We're not saying that at some point it wasn't a product, or it could have become a product. It could have, certainly. But when title is considered, when the tax exemption is considered here, it was not a product. It was real property and therefore not entitled to the exemption. Thank you, Your Honors.
Case is taken under submission.